Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We are talking about reconciliation this month. And Richard, thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you said about this great topic last week as you worked through Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through the end of the chapter,
yes.
Basically. Very dense passage, very rich passage, and really gives us the foundation for all of life, our relationship with God. The fact that he initiated all this is from God. That's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When it comes to reconciliation, God initiated. He was the one that reached down to the rebellious party. That was us. To change things, to bring us back into harmony with himself, to put us back into right relationship with him. So it's the foundation for our relationship with God. It's also the foundation for our relationship one to another, especially in the context of marriage.
Yes.
If you want a successful marriage, reconciliation has to be at the heart and soul at your relationship with your wife, or if you're a wife, with your relationship with your husband. Without this desire to be reconciled one to another, you're going to struggle in marriage. I mean, marriage is hard enough.
Yes.
And if you don't have the foundation of what Christ has done in reconciling us to himself, man, it's going to be really a tough road to follow in trying to be reconciled one to another. So let's talk about that this week, how reconciliation can really impact marriage in such a positive way. And to launch into that, Richard, tell us again what the word reconciliation means. How does that apply to us in everyday life? If we've been reconciled to one another, what does it look like?
Well, in order to understand it, you've got to realize what God did for us. We were the ones who hurt him. We were the party who was wrong. He was the party who was grieved. He had every right under law, if you want to look at it that way, to wipe us out because we had done such a horrible thing to him. Instead, he came to us. He initiated to us. He sent Jesus to us. And Paul captures that in Colossians 1, by using the stronger of the two words that you find in the New Testament for reconcile. They both mean to reconcile. There's no difference between them, except for this one has the idea that God, being the aggrieved party, still took it upon himself to bring reconciliation to us. That speaks volumes. And if we're talking about marriage, I, as a husband, I am not called to stand my ground waiting for my wife to come up and say, I'm sorry. No, I initiate to her to reconcile, just like she initiates to me to reconcile. It's not the party who was wrong who has to beg forgiveness. It's the party who was wronged who offers the love of God to the other party. Now, in and of myself, I can't do that. Just can't do it. I mean, look at the world around us. More than half of the marriages fail today. So at best, you've got a 50-50 chance of having a reasonably good life with your wife or with your husband. That's not good odds.
Not good odds
at
all.
Not good odds. And yet, God makes it possible because of this particular word, meaning that he's the one who reached into our lives to reconcile us to him when we were the ones who should have been begging to be reconciled, but we didn't have to do that. He did it on our behalf so that we could then say, oh, thank you. I guess I can be reconciled.
Yes, indeed. And in our minds, we were enemies. We
yes.
were at war with God. There was this big, huge obstacle that stood between us. And God removed that once and for all. And that's the way it needs to be in marriage. We're not enemies. We married each other. We're actually one in Christ, one in flesh. So we shouldn't see each other as enemies, yet we do.
Yes.
And when that happens, this truth of reconciliation has to enter into the picture at that point, has to move us to reach out and be reconciled one to another. Mm-hmm. It's this exchange. We go from being enemies to being friends again. It's very close to the word peace. Yes. In the New Testament. The word peace is a word that means a state of being that is absent of war and dissension. Mm-hmm. Well, war and dissension is big in marriage, isn't it? We war with each other. We have dissension all the time. I want my way. She wants her way. How do we get past that? It's this reconciling one to another. It's this initiation and saying, hey, the marriage is more important than my own personal desires, my own selfish ambitions. And it's not what I want. It's what we want and what God wants for us together as a couple. And when we can go at it with that in mind, we can see marriage be everything that God intended it to be. That's why reconciliation has to be at the heart and soul of marriage. Yes. Let's talk about it today on Basic Gospel. The number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you have a question about your marriage, about a struggle that you're going through in a particular relationship, if you want to know how reconciliation can be the answer to your relationship problem, we invite you to call right now, 844-322-2742. You're listening to Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher, and we certainly welcome you. We're going to start today in New York City and talk with Tony, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Tony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Good afternoon. I'm really concerned about something that I've been looking at through the internet, this new RFID. Supposedly the chip that people implant in their bodies to buy or sell or get anything, and it's supposed to be people are supposed to get it. Supposedly in the future it'll be mandatory. And I'm wondering, how can a person who takes that chip be reconciled to God? And I'll take your answer over the phone, from me over the radio.
Okay, Tony, we certainly appreciate your question today. You know, we have a lot of talk about that in the world today, especially with technology advancing as quickly as it is. It seems like every day, you know, what you had tomorrow, what you had yesterday that was brand new was the latest and greatest. The next day it's obsolete, mm-hmm. and something else has come to replace it. And with that, there's a lot of fear that one of these new technologies is going to serve as the mark of the beast. And I think when we read the Word of God, we see that it goes much deeper than just a mark, a technology, or something like that. It's really an attitude of the heart, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And the mark of the beast really is rebellion toward God. It's a active pursuit of usurping the authority of God, to kicking him off the throne and placing yourself on the throne. That was the sin of Satan, and that's what he has foisted on mankind, and that's what he is kind of brewing here.
Yes.
In the world today.
Yes.
And so the mark is rebellion toward God. It's saying something about God that's not true. It is actively rejecting Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. That's the mark of the beast, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And what we know from Revelation, without reading too much into it, but it's fairly clear that this world system eventually becomes so antichrist that it wants to force everyone to be antichrist. And that's where these technologies would come to bear. So if someone comes to me and says, you must have this, whatever this is, in order to live, because you're a Christian and I want you to stop being a Christian, I don't want you to be a Christ follower anymore, when that choice is presented to you, now you have the choice to live or die.
Yes.
You can't plan for that. You can't, you know, do a bunch of exercises here right now today and tomorrow and the next day that will prepare you for that event. All you can do is know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, and if that scenario comes to pass, you will be given the words to say, you will be given the grace that you need to deal with it at that time. So yes, if it comes down to a choice of Jesus or the world, Jesus or Satan, and you choose Satan, well, then you were never reconciled in the first place.
Right.
You were never saved in the first place. I mean, God has done everything he needed to reconcile us to himself, but if we will not be reconciled to him, there's nothing he can do about that. And if I choose to give up any idea of who Jesus is in order to not be uncomfortable, in order to go along with the world system, then I am responsible for my own lack of salvation at that point. That doesn't mean I can't be saved later, right? The mark of the beast is not the unpardonable sin. It is a sin, but it's not unpardonable. What makes it unpardonable is if you die of old age or illness or an accident before the Spirit can get a hold of you. And that's the key part in, or one of the key parts in Revelation. These things keep happening and keep happening and keep happening, and God is trying to draw people to himself, and they keep rebelling. They keep calling him names. They keep shaking their fist in his face and saying, I want none of this. The individual mark, whatever that is, whether it's technical or not technical, is a symptom of just exactly what you're talking about, of the rebellion in the heart.
And here's a passage in 1 John chapter 4. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Mm-hmm. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Mm-hmm. That spirit is already in the world. There are people operating under the influence of that particular spirit. They're in rebellion toward God. They want to remain in rebellion toward God. And here's the other side of the mark question. There's the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. There's also the mark of God. God has marked us out as his very own, and he has deposited his spirit into our human spirits.
Yes.
That's the seal guaranteeing our future redemption as far as our body being resurrected and all the things that God has promised. Because we have the Spirit of God living in us, we have already been marked out as one who belongs to God. And that is good news. That's our assurance. So we can know that even though Satan wants to mark us for his own, we've already been marked by God through the Holy Spirit.
And you can never have both. It's one or the other.
That's exactly right. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're talking reconciliation today, reconciliation as it relates to marriage, why it is really the cornerstone, the foundation for a strong, successful marriage, one, the way God has designed it to be. Let's go to New York again and talk to Rinaldo. Hi, Rinaldo, is that correct?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you ever so much, you guys, for your great ministry. The Lord continue to bless.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your call.
I was very much ready to divorce my wife a week or so ago, and the Lord touched my heart and spoke to me very loud and very clear out of Exodus 34. You are probably very familiar with the passage where Moses had asked to have God reveal his glory, and so the Lord passed by and proclaim his name, Yahweh, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. You know the passage.
Yes.
And later I realized that Moses was acting as God with his qualities when he interceded for the people of God. And I was very much in the same place with my wife. I was pretty much set up, and, you know, we have tried counseling, we have tried all kinds of things, but nothing was working. So I was very much in the place of God with my wife, and I heard the Lord saying, if you want to understand my heart, you have to be forgiven. You have to be merciful, whatever happened. And so I went to my wife, and I said, you know, we're not getting a divorce. You know, I forgive whatever is grievances, whatever, you know, I have perceived, whatever I have made up, you know. And the Lord really touched our lives that way. And the other thing I want to say is that all these stems, I do believe, from our childhood, neglect, abandonment, you know, mistreatment, abuse, whatever. And this seems to resurface in our family life as we grow older. I hear so many people going through the very same things. We need to address this issue of, hurts and be resolved. Reconcile with those that hurt us. Forgive those that hurt us so that we can get over it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Rinaldo. We appreciate that wonderful testimony. And, you know, what Rinaldo brings up, a very important point, that reconciliation requires forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So the ministry of reconciliation was this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So there's the forgiveness aspect of the reconciliation.
Yes.
So if we're going to be reconciled to our mates, forgiveness has to be at the heart of that, doesn't it? We have to forgive. We have to look at that person and say, I'm not going to count that against you. I'm going to leave it in the past. I'm not going to drag it forward to our present moment. I'm not going to drag it forward into the future. It's done. It's over. Christ has dealt with it. And because he has dealt with it, I'm going to leave it where it needs to be, with him, washed in the blood of Christ Jesus. So to be reconciled requires forgiveness.
Yes.
Now, the other aspect of that, forgiveness requires an admission of guilt. So it's not like we're sweeping something underneath the carpet. We're saying, I forgive you of this. You actually offended me. You're guilty of it. And the person who receives the forgiveness is basically saying, you're right, I am guilty. Thank you for extending that gracious act of forgiveness based on the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how it works. And when that happens, then reconciliation follows suit. Something happens in our hearts, and we are now on that same page together. Peace is between us. And that's when we can really grow together as a couple. So reconciliation is the heart and soul of any relationship, and forgiveness is kind of the underpinning of that reconciliation.
Yes.
To be reconciled requires that we forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us.
Let me add something to that, because I've done it so wrong. when you forgive someone, when you're trying to minister reconciliation to them, you don't say, in my case to my wife, I forgive you, and then wait there with my arms folded and my foot tapping for them to say, oh, you're right, I did something wrong. Because now I'm saying, well, now you're supposed to say, that's manipulation. What we're talking about here is an attitude, a heart attitude, that forgives before anything is said. And it forgives regardless of what is said. And because, you know, like the Bible says, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. If I'm kind to my wife and I accept her and I forgive her and I love her, then things will change, because she'll be warmed by that. And the same in her attitude toward me. She forgives me long before I've realized I've done something wrong.
Yes.
And so there's this mutual relationship going on that has nothing to do with, well, I said this, so now it's your turn. As soon as you go there, you've ruined the moment.
Yeah, and the confidence that we have in Christ moves us to take action.
Yes, well, to take the risk.
Yeah, to take the risk, to take initiative. And that's really kind of what leadership isn't it? Leadership takes action. Leadership steps out and initiates. And those that want to be impacted by that, want to be influenced, follow.
Yes.
That's the way it works. And that's what God did for each and every one of us. He took the initiative. That's why this is such wonderful, good, life-transforming news. Well, let's go back to New York and talk with Nicole. Is that right? Nicola?
Yes, Nicola.
Okay.
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. Your show's been a blessing to me. I have a question. I am a believer. My husband's not a believer. But we've been dealing with addiction in our marriage through my husband. He has been sober, thank God, for a little over a year. But as you know, addiction tends to damage the relationship as far as trust and intimacy. And I'm researching different methods of different ways and how we can go about to rebuild our marriage after just having this huge damage as a result of his addiction. He's not quite open to marriage counseling, or doing anything that has attached to the church. So I'm open for suggestions on how, besides just praying, to go about reconciling our relationship.
Well, Nicole, I think that's a wonderful question. You've been hurt, and you've probably been hurt multiple times in the relationship, all tied to the addiction. You've had to put up with a lot there. There's a lot going on within him. So I think it gets down to a point of, Lord, what do you want to do inside of me? And so you have to think in those terms, Nicole. You have to think, Lord, I've been in this. I've been hurt by this. I've probably contributed to it in some way, form or another. And so I want to just entrust myself to you and to allow you to do in me what you need to do in me. And I think if you go there and allow God to work in your husband, in him individually, you're going to see some powerful things happen as far as the marriage is concerned. A lot of times with an addictive problem, everything is focused on correcting that addiction. Mm-hmm. So all your attention is focused on trying to help him overcome his addiction. All his attention is focused on trying to overcome the addiction, and you kind of miss out on what God's all about in that particular situation. You understand what I'm saying there?
Yes, you're hitting the nail right on the head.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So you have to say, okay, the addiction's kind of his deal. Of course, I'm going to support, I'm going to encourage, but there's things that are going on inside of me that I want to trust the Lord to work on in me, and so that I can be content and comfortable in my own skin. So a lot of times when there's an addiction, you focus all attention. If there's a stump, a stumble, a mess up, he starts to drinking again, you think, all hope's gone out the window. Your chance of happiness, your chance of contentment, your chance of a good marriage has gone out the window, and fear sets in, anger becomes a part of the relationship, and those things become difficult to overcome. So you just have to come back and say, Lord, I want to be content in you. And when I'm content in you, then I can trust you to equip me to serve my husband in true, genuine love, things that are going to make a difference as far as our relationship is concerned. So I would step back if I'm in your shoes and just say, Lord, I want to know your love. I want to know your grace. I want to know your mercy. I want to know your forgiveness for me. I want you to build that foundation underneath me so that I can genuinely be content in you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Now, Nicole, have you ever come to Christ by faith and have received him into your life as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay.
At age 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, let me do this, Nicole. We have some wonderful resources that I want to put in your hands. I've wrote a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I want to send you that, and I've also done a CD on marriage. So let me put those things into your hands. You read through those, you listen to those, and then will you call us back?
Yes, I will. Thank you very much for finding me.
Hey, you're so welcome, Nicole. Thanks for calling. Thanks for having the courage to pick up that phone and to call. Let me put you on hold. We'll get all your information, and we'll get that information to you, okay? God bless. Thanks for your call. Well, this has been Basic Gospel. It's just flown by.
Yeah.
I tell you, I love this subject of reconciliation, especially as it relates to marriage. We're going to be talking about it more this week. Tomorrow's broadcast will be a special broadcast as we are interviewing a gentleman named Phil Cook, a filmmaker out in California, a storyteller. He's got some wonderful things to share for us tomorrow, so we'll hope you'll tune in for that. Wednesday we'll pick up the reconciliation topic. So until then, I'm Bob Christopher for Richard Pfeiffer and the rest of the team saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.